I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio Studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Fargo to Philly, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. How are we doing, everybody? We have met another Friday morning, and doesn't that feel good? And today's show is a feel-good show. I am so ready for today's show. Coming up later on in the morning, Adam Lefko, one of our friends here on the show, host of the Lefko Show, is going to join us. You watch him on TNT's NBA coverage on Tuesday nights. You also love his football analysis. He goes inside the game with players of the NFL. We'll have Adam join us here on the show again, coming up in hour number four. So I'm very excited to have our friend Adam Lefko join us. Also, it's another week of David versus Goliath. Super Dave versus the Thicktator in the College Football NFL Picks Challenge. Super Dave will join us coming up in hour number three. Mraz will make his NFL picks. He is 12-6 on the season, plus unveil his football food of the week, coming up in a little over an hour from now. I've got your tasty top five college football games of the weekend. Oh, by the way, the Big Ten is back in action starting tomorrow. Actually, really starting tonight. And so we add another power conference to the gumbo known as college football. Oh, yeah. Elsewhere around this morning, the Ravens make a big addition on their defense. Is it enough? We've got in Washington and Dallas a combination of two coaches that's really, they're both taking on a lot of flack this afternoon, and I should say this morning and this weekend. And the Steelers and Titans is one of the biggest games of the weekend, and for some reason Pittsburgh is an underdog. Do they deserve to be? All of that coming up this morning on the show, and it's a Target Demo Friday. So we have so much going on, a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of levers to be pulled, a lot of buttons to be pressed. I'm ready. I am so ready. And I know you guys need a feel-good morning show. So many sports morning shows just devolve into politics and agenda and sniping. And why would you do that right now? We're here for you. So we begin with last night. You know, yesterday, Mraz, my fine fleshy friend, dons himself a Daniel Jones jersey, a Saquon Barkley era NFL draft New York Giants snapback. And boy, he was ready. He was ready because, as he proclaimed, this was the most important, biggest October football game the Giants had played in years, even though they were only 1-5 on the season. The Giants, with a win last night in Philadelphia, could pull themselves up by the bootstraps for a spot atop the division, a tie at 2 wins atop the NFC East for the moment. So Mraz had some hope. He had some dreams. He went into last night saying, I could be something. I could be a fan of a first-place NFL team, albeit in the NFC East, but still. And last night, those New York Giants, if you weren't watching, maybe preoccupied by the debate or something like that, had built a 21-10 lead in the fourth quarter. In fact, the Giants had a 21-10 lead with only 5 minutes left. Now, the Giants' bugaboo has been both the Eagles and the Cowboys. They just can't seem to beat those two teams. But last night, 21-10. If you flipped off the TV at 21-10, shouldn't have. Oh, no. There was a comeback. There was a Carson Wentz. There was a Boston Scott. And there was an Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles flapping the wings. Oh, no. Oh, no. We suck again. Mraz, all those hopes, all those dreams crushed like an ant between the thumb and the index finger. Crushed. Crushed. The Giants take it on. Take it on the chin again. And the question is, even in this deplorable NFC East, can the Giants recover from blowing that lead that late? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Jones takes the snap. He's back to throw. He's going to lob one down the left sideline, and it's dropped by Ingram. He was wide open, and he didn't catch it. It was a little long, but I thought Ingram could catch it.
It's tough, you know. Don't want to be on the short end of a turnover. I got to be better with mechanics and small things, and it sucks. Sucky feeling right now.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott, touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Caught it at the goal line and went in.
I feel great because we got the win, and I feel great because we got a long weekend. Those are the things I feel great about. I mean, anytime you play two football games in whatever it's been, 4 or 5 day stretch, it's tough. It's tough on your body, but the fact that we got a win, the fact that we got a little time off, the body will be just fine.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Bob Papa, Giants Radio, Evan Ingram. That was Merrill Reese, Eagles Radio, and Carson Wentz. Oh, no. Oh, no. That drop you heard was Daniel Jones with just over 2 minutes to play on 3rd and 6, putting it right into Evan Ingram's breadbasket. And Evan Ingram, the tight end, just flat out dropping it. Could have extended the drive and perhaps iced the game. Instead, it was a drop. It was a punt. The Eagles got the football back and went down the field and killed the Giants. No, the Giants can't survive this one. If you're wondering if they can compete for the division, no, this was the end of the division for the Giants because they simply cannot beat the Eagles or the Cowboys, and those are the two teams that are going to be really competing for the division. They were always going to be competing for the division, and as long as the Giants cannot beat them, then it ends their season right now. Cannot, will not. It is over, but it was over before last night. Giants fans should not have had that hope. Mraz should not have had that hope. I know hope is a fun thing, but there was no way the Giants were going to compete in this division, even if they won last night. They just didn't have the horses for the entire year. On the one hand, you could say, well, look, the Giants are getting closer. They have been in close games against the Bears, in close games against the Steelers, in close games against the Cowboys, in close games against the Eagles, and at some point in time you'll break through, and I suppose you can say that, but last night is just another kick in the gut for a Giants fan. And if you're watching right now at watchda.com or on Twitch at the CBS Sports Radio channel, you're watching Mraz in his Eli Manning jersey and a paper bag over his head. It's a shameful morning for Mraz, and you should have seen him, or maybe you shouldn't have, on Twitter last night, absolutely melting down over Evan Ingram's drop, saying cut Evan Ingram today and fire Dave Gettleman now. Now, as in last night, fire him immediately after the game. Fire the GM right now. It's another painful chapter in Mraz's relationship, an abusive one with the New York Giants. 855-212-4CBS. Hit me up if you watched that debacle last night, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, will you be donning that paper bag all morning long, or just when we talk about the Giants?
No, all morning. That's it. As long as you can hear my voice. Do I sound all right this morning?
Yeah, you sound fine, yeah.
What a freaking disgrace that was, DA. An utter freaking disgrace. You could change the coach. You could change the roster. It does not matter. Every year we suck, and you can't beat the Eagles. The Eagles. We can't beat the Eagles. 2013. First year of overnights, DA. First year. How long have we come? That's the last time we went into Philly and won, and it took 5 field goals to do it. Evan Ingram has the ball in his hands, and everybody's going to wake up saying Daniel Jones sucks. Catch the ball! Catch the ball! You're up 11 points. 5 minutes left. Catch the ball. Now here we are. 1-6. Joe Judge can't beat him. Shermer can't beat him. McAdoo can't beat him. How many years? How many primetime games do I have to put out the chips and dip and think maybe this is it? Maybe this is the week. Only to have our absolute back snapped. Catch the ball. I can't do it anymore. It's hopeless. Even at 1-5, you can't compete in a division at 1-5. The division came back to him and he can't catch the ball. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. Trade Evan Ingram today. Trade Golden Tate today. Trade Kevin Zeitler today. Trade Marcus Golden today. And don't even let Gettleman be the one to get the assets back because you got to get fired. I slept 3 hours last night. I'm sick of being committed to the Giants and Eagle games. We're a joke. A damn joke.
I know that you love Daniel Jones, but Daniel Jones has 80 yards of open field ahead of him, and he is cruising into the end zone, and he just fell down. He just tripped over himself, splattered on the floor.
He's going to be a meme, a gif. He's going to be all of that. I understand.
He's already.
He is already. He's not Lamar Jackson either, folks. And guess what? He fell down, and he still put the ball in the end zone there. That's not Daniel Jones' fault. And Daniel Jones had the game in his hands and the game on the line, and he dropped one in the breadbasket of Evan Ingram, that stiff of a first-rounder, and he dropped the pass in Philadelphia. I'm not 3 hours sleep. I can't do it anymore with these Giant Eagle primetime games. I refuse. You gave me hope, and you drop a pass to seal the game. What more is Daniel Jones supposed to do to make his mark? And people want to run him out of town for Trevor Lawrence? Make a catch.
Okay, so aside from Evan Ingram, who do you blame the loss on?
How about Gettleman for composing a stupid roster that can't figure out how to close a game? The Bears, the Cowboys, the freaking Rams, now the Eagles. The Giants could be 6-1. They're 1-6. Every fourth quarter is the same thing. I'm slapping hands for what? They can't make a stop. And by the way, the defense has played great. You have an 11-point lead with 5 minutes left. Can you make a stop? Would it kill you? Boston Scott's running around like he's Barry Sanders. I can't. And now guess what? I told you yesterday. The Eagles every year get off to these slow starts, and it's a giant win that turns the year around. The Eagles are going to go on a run. They're going to win like 9 games, 10 games now. The Giants handed it to him. And Evan Ingram should not have been on that bus ride home. He should have had to take an Uber back up the turnpike. And if Bill Belichick wants to trade a 6th-rounder for him, 7th-rounder for him, get him out. I don't care. Get him off the team. Because you just gave us more heartache. We can't beat the Eagles.
Do you blame Joe Judge at all?
I don't blame him, but at the same time, how many head coaches? It's like a carousel. Come on in. Now you try to beat the Eagles. Nope, you can't do it. Come on in. Now you try to beat the Eagles. Nope, you can't do it. Joe Judge spent all week talking about how he's from Philadelphia. He's going to have batteries thrown at him. You know what? How about you coach the team at a close damn game? I know we're close. How many moral victories do I need? I'm done with moral victories. There's no more moral victories. It's awful. And stop putting the Giants on prime time. Why should we stay up till midnight to wake up for this? It's a
joke. Your paper bag is starting to get twisted around your head.
It's fixed.
So what time did you get to bed last night?
I tossed and turned. The last time I remember seeing the clock was 1:30. And I remember seeing the clock again at 4:30 and then just getting up and taking a shower. And that's how the weekend starts here. All right? So if I'm mumbling through the up-the-gut picks, lady, you're going to have to deal with it. I can't do this anymore with this team. I'm trying to be a professional radio producer, personality, whatever it is, and my fandom from the Giants, I mean, Fletcher Cox might as well rip my chest open, take it out my heart, and stomped on it. I can't do it anymore. I can't balance this life.
Well, do you think that perhaps maybe you shouldn't get invested like this in a one-win Giants team?
It's a sickness. I agree. Why couldn't the Cowboys have won 4 or 5 games and made me not care last night? Why? I blame the other NFC East teams. Win some games and get me out of caring.
Now you don't have to care for the rest of the season.
You're right. We're up 11 points, DA, 5 minutes left in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Miracle at the Meadowlands 1, miracle at the Meadowlands 2, and the Evan Engram game now. We just went to top 5 Eagle losses of all time on a Thursday night where the two teams are 1-5. And you made me care. I want everybody traded now. Anybody who's worth a damn, rebuild this thing now and get a new general manager in. How many years? 2013. How many years?
You really would put a pair of one-win teams as a top 5 Giants-Eagles loss of all time for the Giants? They're so bad.
They've been so bad, but they're on the verge of going into a tie for the NFC East and giving the Giant fans meaningful October football, and their first round stiff of a tight end drops a pass. The game's over. It's off to 2 minutes. We're going to run the clock down. The game's over. He drops the pass. He might as well have ran right into the tunnel. He might as well have been Herman Edwards scooping and scoring. He might as well have been DeSean Jackson returning the punt. How many years can we do this? Can we have the same outcome? At some point, when you go play roulette at a casino, at some point red hits, right? Every year.
Did I see the stat that the Giants have lost to the Eagles and Cowboys 17 consecutive games?
That might be accurate. It might be accurate. I know the Giants haven't beaten the Eagles, and that was at home in 2016. They haven't won in Philly since 2013. And the Cowboys, I can't remember the last time we beat them either. The only reason the Giants even don't pick first overall every year is because Washington's in the division. They get to pick them twice a year. I don't know what we're supposed to do anymore. I got myself all excited. We're up 11 points. This is great. We're gonna actually win in Philly. And this idiot drops the pass. And they all had a good laugh about it after the game, I'm sure. The bus ride, don't worry, you'll go get it. Yeah, well, the rest of us can't sleep.
I highly encourage you to be watching at watchda.com or on Twitch at the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch, because watching Mraz do the show in a paper bag is one of the real joys in life. If you got thoughts on last night's Eagles and Giants game or Mraz's meltdown about it, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. The Seahawks were not set to play a Sunday night game, but the networks moved them into Sunday night because of worries about COVID on the previous Sunday night game. We'll hear Russell Wilson talk about adjusting to that. And Tom Brady and Nick Foles, could there be a little animosity there? We'll hear from Tom Brady. That's coming up next as part of Soundcheck, an NFL edition of it on a Football Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
By the way, today's an Ask the Pros day, so send me an Ask the Pros question at DA on CBS. Hashtag Ask the Pros. I'll answer it later on in the morning. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. As part of your best audio of the day, let's start with Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is the Steelers' do-everything defensive back. How do you slow down Derrick Henry in this battle of the undefeateds?
He's a big guy. It's harder for people to tag him and bring him to the ground. We don't want him to get to open field. So he's got to keep him contained, keep him from running north and south, make him run east and west, get multiple people on him. And that's what you got to do to stop a guy like him.
I love watching guys that I know I'll remember 20 years from now because either their style of play, their dominance, what they do in the clutch, and both Minkah and Derrick Henry are those guys. I love watching those two dudes. I love Minkah Fitzpatrick because he's an absolute ball hawk. And for a Steelers organization that's always been built around the defense, Minkah is such a dynamic playmaker and has solidified that defense into one of the elite defenses in football. So I love what Fitzpatrick's brought to the table. He's smart. He's athletic. He has so much agility. I just love watching him play. I also love watching Derrick Henry because you just know one day down the road, you'll say, remember watching Derrick Henry in his prime? Remember how crazy that was? When he rips off that 94-yarder on Sunday, I'm simply saying to myself, this physics, from a physics standpoint, should not be able to happen. A man that large being that fast. He cuts through the line and it's 6'3", 250. 6'3", 250. He is outrunning small corners and safeties and defensive backs 94 yards. It shouldn't happen that somebody should be that big and that fast, but he is. This matchup between the Titans and Steelers is going to be awesome on Sunday. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks got moved to Sunday night. Originally, it was supposed to be the Raiders versus the Bucks, but because the Raiders have had a couple of positive COVID tests, the NFL and NBC got squirrely about having that window completely left empty because of that Raiders game ultimately being postponed. So they moved Seahawks-Cardinals into that slot instead. Here's Mr. Unlimited.
You know, I never really worry about what time the game is. You know, I just, you know, when the ball snaps, it's time to go play and try to go win a game. And so hopefully we can do that.
Unlimited.
You know, it's just like when you're 5-0 and you got no COVID test, you got to remain unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
And you know, when you're like the Raiders and you've had a couple of positive tests, you've got to make sure your COVID testing is unlimited.
Unlimited.
And like when you're the NFL execs and the NBC television suits, you got to make sure you keep your options unlimited.
Unlimited.
So stupid. It's a smart play by the execs. It's a smart play by the NFL. It's a smart play by NBC. Because the worst thing that could have happened is at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday night, everybody going, oops, sorry, no game. Nobody is left to play. The Raiders and the Bucks can't play, and so we got nothing here. So you push a game in there that feels like a safe bet, so at least we know we'll get a game. Because, you know, with football fans, they get to a Sunday night, and they got all of those dips in front of them, and they're getting ready to watch a Sunday night football game. They got to make sure they keep their food options
unlimited.
And finally, speaking of Tom Brady, remember Bucks and Bears on Thursday night, won by the Bears. That, of course, was a rematch of the Super Bowl, kind of, between Brady and Nick Foles a couple of years earlier. Did he purposely not shake Nick Foles' hand after losing that game?
Sometimes I've run off the field. Sometimes I haven't. Sometimes if I have a personal relationship, like I have with Drew and Justin and Aaron over the years, I don't know. I don't think it's anything in particular other than I have great admiration for Nick, and I think he's a hell of a player. They're off to a great start.
That was also the game where Tom Brady didn't know whether it was fourth down or not. So I'm going to give him a pass on this. I think he was embarrassed on that fourth down. He's looking to the cameras, looking at the officials, looking at the sideline. Fourth down, right? Fourth down. Nope, it's fifth down. You're off the field there, Tommy. So I'm going to give him a pass on that. By and large, he's been a really good competitor, opposing player. You know, he could be a little bratty sometimes after losses, but I don't think it's directed towards the opponent. So I don't think it had anything to do with Tom Brady there. And that is your sound check. So Brady said he had a relationship with Aaron, Drew, and Justin. So clearly it's Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Who's Justin?
I only guess Justin Herbert.
He didn't have a relationship with Justin Herbert, and they haven't played one another. Or they did have one. Oh, that, I guess that is it, because they did play one another. That was the comeback where Brady had 5 touchdowns. But he had a relationship, he says, with Justin Herbert. That's why he shook his hand after the game?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he, you know, somehow was like a mentor to him this offseason or something when Herbert was getting drafted.
Maybe. Right now, if you're watching at watchda.com or on Twitch or inside the radio.com app, you are watching a emotionally and mentally broken Mraz wear a paper bag over his head. Surprisingly, the microphone still works pretty well. So I think we're just going to have you wear that paper bag over your head all morning long. Unfortunately, this is a bad morning for Danielle. She texted Mraz, and I only know this not because I'm somehow spying on his text, but because he screenshotted this and sent this to the entire show. Danielle wrote last segment at 6:12 Eastern time, "What? Too loud. Shut the bleep up now. Do you hear me?" Bogues, nothing quite like a upset, tired wife texting, "Do you hear me?"
La Cucaracha strikes again. You got to be careful. You don't want to anger her before 7 in the morning. I'm impressed, too, by the way, Dia, that Sean actually had a brown paper bag in his house to make this mask of. I don't know that if I wanted to do that, I'd have the resources to get it done, especially this early in the morning. So it's a good look. It's much better than yesterday's Saquon Barkley draft hat. I'll give you that.
Those beer runs.
Also, apparently a really bad night in the Mraz household, because when Evan Engram drops the crucial third down pass late in that game that could have iced it for the Giants, apparently Mraz's 60-year-old neighbor, Dancing Dave, spilled Budweiser all over the carpet. Now, I would only imagine that's Bud Diesel, Bud Heavy Mraz, not a Bud Light.
Only Bud Heavy for Dancing Dave, absolutely. He saw me what? Cutting the grass. He said, "We need to watch the game with real Giant fans." I said, "Let's watch the game together. You want to hear a 60-year-old man curse up a storm for 3 hours? Watch a game with Dancing Dave with that Budweiser all over the carpet." Danielle basically had the me versus Eli. No! As that happened. It was a bad scene.
May I ask why Dave got the nickname Dancing Dave?
Well, when I moved into the neighborhood, everybody kept saying, "You live next to Dancing Dave. You live next to Dancing Dave." Apparently, at weddings, this guy could really cut a rug, but all I see him is cursing watching the Giants, so I don't know. But he's Dancing Dave to me.
So Evan Engram drops that pass, and does he throw the beer down on purpose, or he accidentally knocks it over?
He went to throw his hands up in the air, and it literally just fell right out of his and just everywhere all over the carpet. It was his 11th of the night. I only know that because the 12-pack was left this morning.
So Dance and Dave can rip through a couple of Bud Heavies on a big Giants game, huh?
Yes, he can.
It's a rough Friday morning for Dance and Dave.
No!
Let me tell you, I respect anybody that goes Bud Diesel. I just feel like it's so easy to grab the Bud Light. They go down so quickly, so smoothly. Anybody that wants the real powerhouse of the Bud Diesel, I totally respect. Last night, I dropped by this kind of hole-in-the-wall dive bar to get myself some wings. I brought home 2 dozen wings for me and the Bourbon Bell to watch a little football, hang out. And this place has amazing wings, but they're kind of known for their wings and also being a total dive bar. So I go inside to this bar, and I look at the taps. They got a bunch of taps, and the one tap that's out is Bud Heavy. And I'm like, oh, it's that kind of night around here, huh? Everybody's already getting that loose that the Bud Diesel tap is already done at 7 o'clock. I'm like, okay, big night here at this tavern. Big, big night, which I respect. I totally respect. I don't think I could empty out a Bud Diesel tap, but
I would also say in 2020, any bar that has Bud Diesel on tap might as well just be called Dive Bar, right? You're not getting that in any place with marble bar tops.
Yeah, you know that their wings are really good if they have Bud Diesel on tap. So, Mr. Bogues, I'm guessing we're going to begin on the Thursday night murder of Mraz and the New York Giants.
No!
Yeah, I can only imagine, D.A., the burritos and apple pies and Kona seltzers are going to die because Evan Engram dropped that pass last night.
5 minutes left.
So much
catch the ball.
Sad, angry eating on the horizon for Giants fans.
I like how Bilotti just faded that out, almost like the institution was pulling Mraz away. No. No, Mr. Mraz, we're going to go inside the car now. No. You come with us.
Catch the ball. I can't do it anymore.
Uh-oh, there he goes. Oh, Dancing Dave waving to Mraz out of his house as the paddy wagon pulls him away and takes him to the institution.
Catch the ball!
Sean was a nice boy up until the 2020 Giants season. He seemed like a really nice neighbor.
It was all over.
As you might expect, Bill Belichick disciple Joe Judge gave you nothing post-game about that Engram drop.
Saw an incomplete pass. I have to look at the tape, see if there's something technique-wise you can correct and clean up.
Yeah, he dropped it. I mean, I got you, Joe.
Look at the tape. There's a million-inch freaking Jumbotron. Look up. The guy dropped the pass. Screw the tape.
And by the way, I see a lot of NFL analysts saying they've got to keep feeding Evan Engram the ball. They need to open up the offense. He's the target that they need to have. I mean, after last night, what do you do with Evan Engram? I mean, do you keep throwing the football to him?
You trade him. He can't block. He can't catch. All he could do is take an end around about 3 yards in the Jason Garrett brilliant offense. I would trade him today. Enough. If you get a sixth round, a seventh rounder, fine. Nobody else takes him. Just cut him, release him. No need to even tease yourself into signing a contract. The guy sucks.
Okay, so if you trade Evan Engram, who's the starting tight end?
Caden Smith. Nice soft hands. He'll give you 6 yards every time you throw to him. And they got some guy, Tulalulululu. They signed him somewhere, okay. I think, from the Seahawks. So we're going to be fine at tight end. Get those guys on the field.
So the soft hands kind of Zeke Moet-esque.
Yes. Okay. A lot of Kevin Boss and Caden Smith. I'd be fine with him.
Okay, got it.
As we've already laid out, that catch should have allowed the Giants to at least add on to their fourth quarter lead or maybe even run out the clock for a 21-16 win. Instead, they punted. The Eagles marched out down the field for their second TD in the final 5 minutes of Thursday Night Football. Philly, the 22-21 thievery.
To be fair, Evan Engram holds on to that pass, and they hold him to a field goal. It's still an 8-point game, right?
No.
24-16.
The Giants essentially can run the clock down to about 25 seconds left with the amount of Eagles timeouts that were left, and it was going to be at the 2-minute warning.
Well, that's the thing. If he hauls down the pass and goes out of bounds, okay, because he was really close to out of bounds, it's a first down at 2 minutes and 16 seconds left, and the Eagles have two timeouts. So there's three stoppages of the clock to go.
I don't think he's running out of bounds. He might even be running free, D.A. There's nobody over the top.
There is a safety. He's not. Okay, even if he stays in bounds, if he's got the heady ability to stay in bounds, the clock would then stop at the 2-minute warning. The Eagles have two timeouts there. Hypothetically, they could get the ball back, and if the Giants kick a field goal, it is still an 8-point game. They do have to go the length of the field to score a tying touchdown and a tying 2-point conversion, but the game is not absolutely over.
I mean, it's all but over. You have the ball in Philly territory, 2-minute warning, a fresh set of downs. I mean, come on. And then the Eagles would have to score and get the 2-point, which they failed on the 2-point anyway. Come on. The game's over.
The game is over.
Not with the Eagles with two timeouts. It's not over.
I mean,
whatever your win probability is at that point has to be above 99.
Well, you should have seen what the Giants' win probability was even without that catch. It was like 94.
True. What a joke. What a freaking joke.
Congrats to the Eagles, by the way, at a robust 2-4-1 this morning. They are in first place in the NFC East, pending Dallas's game with Washington Sunday. Now, 5'6" Boston Scott caught the winning points with 40 seconds left. He might be short on height, but he's long on confidence.
It's never been a matter of
want to. It's never been a matter of effort. It's never been a matter of fight. You know what I'm saying? It's just those little things that, you know, have caused us to fall short. So, you know, as long as we're, you know, firing on all cylinders and dialed into the little things, you know, I don't think there's many teams that can really stop us.
There's probably many. I don't know how many, but there's definitely many teams that could stop them, even on all cylinders.
Like all of the teams that are not in the NFC East could probably
yeah,
stop them.
Yeah, that's a fair group. Non-NFC East teams and the Jets.
28 other teams. Yeah, 27 besides the Jets. The NFC East and the Jets.
Oh. You might have heard the Giants have now lost 8 in a row to the Eagles, their last 7 trips to Philly. The NFL has moved Raiders-Bucks from Sunday night to 4 Eastern because of Vegas' COVID situation. 4 starting O-linemen and safety Jonathan Abram are now in isolation until Saturday because they're close contacts of right tackle Trent Brown, who has tested positive. Seattle, Arizona is your new Sunday nighter. Meanwhile, the league and union reportedly investigating those Raiders. Maybe Brown didn't wear his tracking device consistently. And maybe the O-line was hanging out without masks. The World Series resumes tonight. Game 3 for the Dodgers and Rays after splitting the first 2. L.A. manager Dave Roberts gives the ball to Walker Buehler.
He feels good. Rested up. I think we're in a good spot. So I think as far as on the pitching side, now we just got to go out there and execute and put up more runs than they do.
Buehler, a 1.89 ERA so far this postseason. It's 0.57 for Rays starter Charlie Morton. First pitch.
My DVDI!
Uncle Rufus! Diaper Dandy!
Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays!
Oh, God.
The Big Ten said yesterday any football game canceled because of a team's COVID situation is a no contest. There is no room in their schedule for makeups. It all begins tonight. Number 14, Wisconsin, hosting Illinois. And the NBA draft will be virtual on November 18th. Adam Silver will announce the picks from ESPN Studios in Bristol. DA, back to you.
It's a good night for the Big Ten Network. They've got the only ranked team in play tonight, Tulsa USF on ESPN. On ESPN2, I think, is Louisiana versus UAB. So both of those are kind of ugh. But then Illinois, Wisconsin, as you mentioned, the Badgers are number 14 of the country. That's going to be on Big Ten Network. So if you want to watch football, you got to have Big Ten Network. When we come back here on the show, I was giggling to myself. You might have heard me snort or chortle during that update because I just looked at the tease coming up here next. It's this date in mothership history. Quote, this is from Bilotti. Mraz is stressed, snuck out to eat cake by himself. Sounds like what will happen tonight as well. or at like 10 a.m. Eastern time. So let's get to this date in mothership history next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Inside, it's this date in mothership history.
855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. If you're watching at watchda.com or on the Twitch, you are seeing Mraz in nothing but a paper bag today over his head. Totally miserable. Well, he felt exactly that same exact way 1 year ago today when he snuck out to eat cake by himself. Roll tape!
Is something happening in your life?
I can't take care of myself and I'm 2 months out from a baby being born. Is something happening in my life?
So, are you...
I had to fake a conversation with Danielle's stepfather and pretend I knew what a vent cover was on my house the other day, just to act like I knew what he was talking about.
So, are you stress eating?
Probably! There's a lot of stress!
So, you're having the realization now that we all had when you told us she was having a baby.
I just found out you gotta change 10 to 12 diapers a day for the first 2 months. Are you insane?
Oh, and wait till you see what's in those diapers.
I thought it was like 3, like us, you know? You make your business in the morning, at the night, maybe an after lunch. 10 to 12? How am I cut out for this?
You're not.
And have you seen the price of diapers? I don't know what to do here.
So Danielle's going to have 15 diaper changings a day, 12 for the baby and 3 for Mraz.
College poops. I'm falling apart at the seams here.
So this is why you're stress eating.
Of course it is.
So you said the Yankees in the playoffs.
Well, that was part of it. Here they are in tight games. If it's the Astros, I thought we were going to run away with things. I didn't get a World Series. My football season's over. I'm having a baby I don't know how to take care of. I bought a house I don't know how to take care of. What do you want me to do other than the only thing that comforts me, stuffing my face with 44 bags of Utz? The other day, I drove to the diner without anybody knowing, and I got a piece of rainbow cookie cake and sat in the car and ate it.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. There it is. It's out there.
Next time, just call me. There. We can talk
I listened to Tiki and Tyri and SiriusXM 206.
Now, there's a real problem.
Perry's
there's a cry for help.
There we go. Wait, say that again for Tiki. That what?
In my gym clothes.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the lowest moments in Mraz's life, sitting in a diner parking lot, listening to CBS Sports Radio, eating rainbow cake in his gym clothes. By the way, right now is such a sight to behold because Mraz is so spiritually broken right now, wearing this paper bag over his head. He looks as though the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy had eaten too many ding-dongs.
He looks a little like that tree figure, too, from like the Avengers movie. What's that guy's name? Yeah, Groot?
Yeah, Groot. He looks like Groot. He looks like Groot after a couple of bags of sour cream and onion Utz chips. He's just so sad. It's the bag that's kind of like longfully looking at the floor, thinking about Evan Ingram's drop. It's like a serial killer that's just still hungry. You know, just man, I really wanted another piece of
and Daniel
piece of
Jones
pie.
Had the game in his hands and the game on the line, and he dropped one he in dropped. The breadbasket of Evan Ingram.
Right on breadbasket. Okay, all right, Sean. Yeah, all right. You're going to come with us now. It's going to be all okay where we're going to take you. Yes, it's going to be a very nice hospital. It's going to be very nice padded walls.
I can't do it anymore with these Giant Eagle primetime games. I refuse.
And DA, you and I love the Giants, too. But here we are, not heartbroken, gleefully celebrating his complete emotional collapse this morning.
I grew up in a household that was huge Giants fans. My dad is a Giants fan dating back to the 50s, went to Yankee Stadium. I mean, he is an old school Y.A. Tittle, Sam Huff type of Giants fan. And last night, in the afternoon, my dad and I went fishing. And, you know, we're just kind of making small talk on the way. And I go, yeah, hey, the Giants play tonight. He goes, they do? I go, yeah. He doesn't care. They're a one-win team. He's like, so... Who is this head coach? Joe what? What's his name?
George.
He's completely checked out because my dad's not that rational about most things, but he knows they're so bad, who cares? Which is in some ways such a remarkable personality trait that Mraz continues to get kicked in the stomach and keep getting back on that horse. I don't know why you would do it. I mean, most sane people just be like, yeah, they suck. Who cares? I'm not going to have any interest, you know, in whether they win or lose. And you are so broken. You're on the verge of tears this morning. You couldn't get any sleep last night.
Because I'm not sane, DA. I keep doing this because it's hope. I am big on hope, and they gave us hope with a bad division, and the hope was ripped out. So I'm going to keep getting on the horse, but not more this year. That's it. That's it. I'm going to watch the games, but no emotional investment.
You've done this.
No. You always say this.
No, this year. It's fine. Whatever development happens, but everybody's got to get traded now. You fire the GM, and I'll check back next year when we have a new general manager, and we'll see where we're at with Joe Judge. But I'm
The thing is, the Giants didn't give you hope. It was just that the division was so bad, but the Giants are still a stink pot.
They are, DA, but remember, they lost a lot of close games and then finally won a game last week. So in my mind, I'm a glass half full guy. I told you, I missed the positivity.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at it and said, well, maybe we're coming along. Maybe we're now going to finally win some games. And look what happened. 11-point lead. I'm not supposed to think that. Come on.
I don't know. I would think you watch an entire Giants game expecting the bottom to drop out, expecting them to lose, because that's what they have done for how many years now? Outside of the one random wild card year where they went to the playoffs with Ben McAdoo, how many non-playoff seasons has this been in a row?
It's like 10 of the last 11.
Yeah. So since they won the Super Bowl in 2011, they made the playoffs once.
Oh, 8 of the last 9. It's a joke. It's a joke. And here I am, like a sucker.
And it's like not... as though they're 9-7, 10-6, and missing the wild card. They're like 4-12, 3-13, 5-11. I mean, they've been really bad for a decade. I don't know how you
do it. Worst record in the NFL over the last 4 years. The worst. Worst than the Browns.
And you were tossing and turning. I mean, I don't know what that says about your sanity when that comes back. When do we come back? The Ravens go all in on D.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.